Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
It's possible to say football is an exciting sport.
Football won again.
But there are these undeniable problems.
How do you balance being a fan of the game and commissioner at the same time?
The reality is that this game destroys people's brains.
They jello for South.
They become a sugar run. The sugar starts shaking them.
How do you get dick from Richard?
Costas's comments went viral.
If it's getting hot in here, then take off all your pads.
Bob's opinions are his own.
Some booze from the fans. A lot of fans have left.
Is anybody worried?
The problem with the Celtics is Brad Stevens.
So much of this comes down to Gordon Hayward.
The chemistry's a little shaky.
The freaking starting five, guys.
It hasn't been fun for a long time, man.
Do you take the Boston Celtics?
Am I supposed to be Kyrie too?
No, you're not. No. Now you shut up.
You won't shut the F up.
Right now.
They're like little bobblehead dolls out there.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Those little bobblehead dolls last week. Everybody said, calm down, relax. Remember, you were all worked up about the bullpen. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Then you were all worried about the Patriots in the road game. Yeah. How did that work out? Celtics are fine. Right.
Duck boats.
This is the theme. It's like every
duck boats ready.
Every major sports team in this city is going to have to like play with that. They don't believe in us. They didn't think we could do it, Chip. Right? So the Red Sox started it off first.
Yep.
They're not likable. Then they are likable. David Price is an a-hole. Then he's not an a-hole, but kind of still is. Patriots, same sort of thing, right? Patriots, same sort of thing. Oh, excuse me. Let me get through this. And so now the Celtics are like, well, I see what the formula is, right? Yeah. We need to act like there's dissension in the ranks, that there's infighting, and you know, we don't know what we're doing.
They're doing it on purpose. You know, listen, what they want to do is everybody's beating up on these LA teams, everybody in town. So you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna lose to not one, two LA
teams. You know what they want to
take a big lead.
If they want us to say it, we'll say it.
Right.
They're in trouble. Okay? This Celtics team is in trouble. What you want to hear?
Yeah. You're gonna hear it today.
Is that what you want to hear? We'll say it.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble.
Good God. I mean, I don't know if you guys checked that game out, but you're sitting there and they're just cruising. You're like, you know what? Nice answer to what happened against the Lakers.
Embarrassing loss, even though you should have won. Last minute second shot by Rondo. Okay, how are you going to respond?
Yeah, blowout is how you're going to respond.
74 points
in the first half. 12 points in the third quarter?
Not bad.
12 points? And then after the game?
Could have been worse.
After the game, you find rock bottom? Like... Holy smokes. What was that?
It was Marcus Morris, a veteran, sitting there going, this really sucks.
For me, it's not really about the loss. It's about the attitudes that we're playing with. You know, guys are, you know, hanging their heads. It's not fun, man. Like, it's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. You know, even though we're winning, it's still not fun. You know, I don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams on the league, guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they're enjoying, you know, their teammates' success, they're enjoying everything, and they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
Whoa, he didn't throw out the dreaded, we're not having fun card, did he?
He did win.
Yeah. He did.
And this is after a bunch of team meetings, this is after a bunch of... Yeah, you know, kumbaya, let's all hold hands. Hey, let's start having group dinners. Hey, talk about your goals. Hey, let's all kind of like, you know, get on a, you know, mix up and like kind of separate. And you tell me about your family, I'll tell you about my family.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, huh? So he's jealous. Basically, that's what it is. Like, that's a terrible thing, right? You're jealous of college teams doing those stupid little antics on the sideline where they act like they're all
Well, I think he's talking about other
pro
teams.
Is that what they were doing?
No, he's talking about other pro teams.
No, I know, but they don't have that. Like, it's like you look at the TV, you look at the screen, you go, wow. Man, the Lakers, man, even though they suck right now and... Man, they all like each other.
Right.
Those 76ers, they like each other.
They didn't like each other last week, remember?
Golden State?
LeBron was at one end of the bench and they were at the other end.
Yeah, so
end.
Like, maybe we're better.
No.
I just, you know... I understand, too, because people are going to be hesitant to sit there and say they got problems with this team. Because exactly Why? That. Because the last two teams you said are screwed, won championships. One won a World Series, the other one won a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, so people can hide behind that all you want, but I thought Marcus Morris, boy, did he let us in or what?
Yeah, he let us in. And he's not the first. Obviously, Kyrie did it before he did it, but last night he just laid it out.
I thought this was the worst one.
Yes,
I mean, Kyrie,
by far.
You go back, Kyrie talking about wish we had a 14-year vet.
Right.
Then we cleared the air, and then he's talking about all the young guys, you know, back in AAU, they never had to work for it. Then you had Jaylen Brown coming back. So all that stuff was like, okay, there's some issues going on internally, which you could all see with your eye when you watch this game, you know, this team play. But I felt like Marcus Morris really let us in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could sit there and say, this team won 9 of 10, right? 9 of 10. You don't, and I know they lost two straight, two bad losses, but when you still, you won what? 9 of, okay, you won 10?
10 of 11 or
10 of 11,
like that,
10 of 13, 10 of 12.
Said it wasn't fun then.
And you're still sitting there and you're listening to this guy continually to talk about his team, even what it's like when it's winning?
The goal has to be to win. Bottom line, we can't. We got to play to win. That's sacrificing playing hard. That's sacrificing, you know, being a better teammate. That's sacrificing whatever it is. You know, we have to put it to the side. No one's getting traded. Trade deadline's over. We compete for a championship, and that's how we got to approach these games. We're going to lose or draw, man. We're going to lose games, but we don't have no attitude. We don't have no toughness. We ain't having fun. You know, it's going to be a long season.
Mm. Well, now, he's saying fun, right? So, obviously,
winning. I thought winning
win,
was fun.
Winning usually solves everything, right? Everybody has fun. It means everybody's getting theirs. Everybody's contributing. They're getting, you know, maybe they're not getting the time that they want, but it's being compensated by the wins. And, you know, maybe that's, to me, that's like, it's hard to kind of wrap your arms around. So then I see this, and I actually think this is more damning. I don't know, let me know what you guys think. I know you guys each saw it from Gary Washburn from The Globe. He says, he tweeted this out, "The Celtics locker room issues aren't that big of a surprise to some NBA folks I talked to today. The consensus is that the players aren't necessarily beefing, but they aren't that close. It's like they are trying to coexist politely, and it's not working."
Well, how is
Isn't that?
Isn't
that like the worst position to be in?
Yes.
Like, that's like limbo.
But
yes.
Can I just bring this up? Because we've had this conversation a month ago and 2 months ago, and I don't think anything has changed with this team. And we talked about when Kyrie first came out and started barking about it. In Kyrie's world, he is 26 years of age. He's got the money. He's going to get a big, huge maximum contract deal. And right now, he wants to win. I would think Morris is in a similar state since he's a 9-year veteran or whatever. Horford and those guys. Then you got the kids. And when you're talking about young players in the NBA, we're talking about three kids in Tatum, Brown, and Rozier, who had an opportunity to start. Let's start doing this with the radio station. Let's say you took a weekend talent at the radio station and somebody lost their voice for long periods of time. Let's say Dale, anybody, okay? Because he lost his voice last week. And that person comes in and takes over for about 2 or 3 months, and then the other guy comes back in. Do you think that person feels good about going back into weekends, you know, following?
Well, it also depends on what the ratings look like.
Right.
So are you talking about, okay, like, let's say that same situation
well, you
happens.
Did well. And they did well.
And they did great.
And they did great.
And they go, wow,
perfect.
Okay, it's going to be even better
perfect.
This time.
Perfect. So they're
here?
Going.
Oh, they just fire the regular guy because the weekend guy did well.
Cheaper because they're cheaper.
Because so our business
works. You know that. It's a little different in the NBA.
Sure.
But it's very similar. So you've got guys that achieve success. NBA players want to be part of the entertainment scene. They want a brand. You see them all over the Grammys and all over music industry right now. They want to be that guy. They're not thinking about championships when you're 19, 20, 21 years of age.
52 mil. That's a new deal.
So you've got guys going in one direction with one agenda, and you got a bunch of other guys in the locker room going in another direction. These kids don't understand that if you don't get a high seed, you're in trouble in the postseason. They had a number 2 seed last year.
Get off my lawn.
And guess what? They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, partly because Toronto, who was the number 1 seed, got smoked because LeBron James was the best player in the conference, if not in the league.
Okay, so my issue with this is I almost feel like I almost rather
but that's
than,
what it is,
I
isn't
almost,
it?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Less, I think
they're not hating each other. They're not beating each other
up. That is part of it. That is 100% part of it. Yes, I agree with you. But it's almost like that. As a coach, I was like, man, I'd rather them be at their throats, each other's throats. At least they're competing against each other. If I can't have them loving on each other and having this whole like bromance going on, like all, you know, shooting for one goal, you know, then I'd rather have them like trying to destroy each other. And then I'll give it to you on
no,
the
it's
court.
True, yeah. Because it's worse. It's worse than them just, listen, I don't have a problem with you. I just don't really care about you.
Yeah. That's it. So like,
that's even worse. I'm indifferent towards you. Like, I'm not rooting against you. I'm just not really pulling for you.
Right. Yeah.
It's, I mean, like, that's even worse, isn't
and I
it?
Think that plays into what we're watching.
Well, it looks
right
like
now.
It.
How is it,
it
you
looked
lose?
Like it for a while.
Lou, they lost. They had a 28-point lead. Okay, and granted, they didn't have Kyrie, but what do they really need Kyrie?
Because well, Kyrie was the problem.
Exactly.
Here's what
so
happens,
he was
though.
The problem. Why wouldn't they play better and more unselfish without Kyrie? But you lost to a team that just acquired 5 players. They were just throwing guys out there on the playground and saying, hey, just do whatever you can do out there. 5 guys. The Clippers had new players. Come on.
So
maybe their best player played in Philadelphia yesterday.
Here's the other thing, though. So it's like when you think about teams, right, Pop Warner teams, you know, Little League, high school, if you start just, you know, if you go up 28 points, right, then the starters are coming out. All right, listen, hey, let's hear it for our guys. Hey, the backups are coming in. They get meaningful playing time. They're actually going to play a long period of time because we gave them a big lead, right? And now they get to go play, right? Because they've been busting their ass. They've been playing on the scout team. It's just not the same effect. It's like when the starters come out, there's not that love and admiration for the backups, right? Hey, good job, Rozier. Hey, good job, Hayward. It's just a weird, like, relationship that they have.
They're not fighting for each other.
No, and that's what it is.
They're throwing a towel.
They all
giving
think
up.
They're starters. Right. They all think they're starters. They all think
right.
they should get there. So why should I be happy?
And it just seems like there's resentment, you know?
Yeah.
If they do win a big game and Kyrie goes nuts, it's almost like you can almost hear, like, the back locker room or the back of the bus, like, oh, great, yeah, Kyrie had a great game. Now he thinks he's the man.
Yep.
Or Terry went in because Kyrie didn't play and Rozier had a great game. It's like, great, that's only going to feed his ego. You know, and it seems like they're not pulling for each other, not rooting for each other. I mean, it's looked like that for a while.
It's a dysfunctional family. That's what it is. They're a number 5 seed right now in the East.
Yeah, they deserve to be.
Now, the East is better this year than it was last year, okay? Giannis is a better player, maybe the best player in the conference, and Kawhi Leonard comes over from the West to the East. So they're better. The East is better than it was. But with the talent this team has from top to bottom, they shouldn't be the number 5 seed,
no.
Should they?
No.
No way.
They are, and not to be the victim
right
of the
spot,
moment,
though.
out of the teams that you think they can beat, Toronto in a best of 7, Milwaukee, Philly?
No, they have right now.
Oh, no,
they
not
can't
even close.
They're dysfunctional.
They may get a couple at home,
they're
sure.
They're dysfunctional.
You know, they'll get on fire, but
Christian,
that's it. They're dysfunctional.
That's the problem. And so today, Brad Stevens talked because he was asked about what Marcus Morris said after the 28-point lead was whittled away, and they lost by 11. By the way, last time they lost a game in which they had a 28-point lead, we have to go back 15 years. 15 freaking years. That's not a good thing. They lost by 11. So here's Brad Stevens today addressing the Morris speech.
I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that we say at the very beginning of the year is we don't want to be a team quoted of unnamed sources. So if you're going to say something, you got to put your name next to it. And Marcus's frustrations were obvious and evident. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I thought he said a lot of stuff that, you know, can't really argue in the last 2 games. And so we need to be a lot better than we were at finishing out games and handling adverse situations in games go from there. But, you know, as long as we can put our name next to it, I'm good.
You know, here's the thing. To me, it does. It falls on Boy Wonder right there. Brad Stevens. We all know what he's done since he's been here. We all know he's done a great job with the teams that he's had in the past. But this year, I think it's an epic fail on his part. I hear people like this morning, Mutt sitting there going off, or other people going off talking about how this is Ainge and Stevens. Ainge? Do you know what Danny Ainge's job is as a general manager? It's to acquire talent. It's to put talent on the roster, and the guy you pay a lot of money is his job, Brad Stevens, to manage that talent. Danny Ainge has done an unbelievable job taking this team where it was 3 or 4 years ago and putting the kind of talent on the court that Brad Stevens should be able to coach up to the point where they're not a 5 seed. They should be a number 1 seed in a good East,
right.
Eastern Conference. And he is not. He has not figured out a way to motivate these guys. He has not figured out a way to individually talk about these guys' roles. That is not Danny Ainge's job to roll down there in the locker room and talk about roles and how to deal with life in the NBA. That is your head coach's job. I put most of this blame, never always put the blame on the players, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I understand that. But this man's job is to manage those players, not Danny Ainge. He's done his job. It's now up to Brad Stevens for us to find out if he can manage this quality of talent on the roster. And so far, fail
yeah.
when it comes to
oh,
Brad
well, yeah.
Stevens.
Okay, so what makes you think that he'll be able to figure it out?
I don't.
In the next, you know, what, 26 games or
I don't,
so?
I don't have confidence
I mean,
in
him figure
and
it
I'm
out.
Trying to figure out, like, and, because if you if these guys, if they're already, you know, it has to go both ways, right? The message gets sent, that message has to be accepted, right? You have to believe, like, you're my coach, you're telling me, hey, if you guys buy into it, here's what you're doing, here's what you're doing, here's what we expect from you. Like, and we're all going to succeed, right? We're all going to win. But what he's got is just the opposite. And he's sitting here talking today about who he's got to, like, nobody wants to, you know, to be quoted in the paper. But everybody's got an opinion. Every single guy on this team has an opinion. And they're all mouthy about it. Nobody's hiding it, right? From Kyrie Irving to Jaylen Brown to Marcus Morris to Marcus Smart. Everybody gets a turn. The only guy I don't hear from ever, probably because he's so up and down and unreliable, is Gordon Hayward. He didn't say anything.
Because he just wants to hide in the corner.
He just wants to, well, he actually had a good game against the Clippers. Right. But still, even then, I'm like, I just don't believe in him whatsoever. So you sit there and go, so how do you fix it? Honestly, what do you do?
Well,
you can't have another team meeting, right?
So Brad Stevens has already talked about it. He talked about our defense in the second and third quarter has been bad all year. When you compare it to the first and the fourth, yada, yada, we're not very good in the middle. I need to go back and look at what I can do to help manage those minutes better. Don't waste your time. Brett, don't waste your time. You're in game 56. If you haven't figured it out by now, then you're not going to figure it out. And then you look at it and he says, I think I need to look at myself first and figure out what I can do to help that not happen.
Well, the patience should be gone.
But here's the problem with it. The problem with it is he's looking at it as an X and O problem. He's looking at maybe changing the starting lineup,
right.
Changing the personnel at certain times on the court.
Which he's done
okay?
in the past.
Right. That's not going to work because that's not the problem.
Right.
You're correcting something that's not there. Your problem is with the personnel, the people, their egos, their agenda, what they want to get out of it, as opposed to other guys in the team that have a totally different agenda. And, you know, people laughed at Casey Jones years ago as a Celtics coach. And Bob Ryan to this day thinks he sucked as a coach. And he was not a great X and O guy, okay? You know what he was? He was a people person. He could pull a guy that was not playing well aside and talk to them and have Larry talk to other guys. He was able to bring people together, roll out the ball, and they would give you 48 great minutes, okay? This guy has not proven that he's capable of dealing with egos,
no.
with stars,
no,
with guys that have gained attention. And not only does he have stars at the top of the roster, but he now has Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. He's a star now in his mind and in the minds of some marketing people, and Tatum and Brown. He's got to deal with all of that stuff.
Aren't you waiting for that, like, one... Like that the game where you watch it, and like you said, it's like, okay, listen, attitude. Who's going to go out there and pull for each other? Who's going to play hard? Who's going to do the game the right way?
That's what's missing, Lou.
No, but I'm just saying, and all of a sudden, there's a game where player X, like two players, don't play. Play like a minute. And you might find out. Be like, why didn't they play? Because they're not on the same page right now. I want them to watch guys that really want to win, that want to win as a team. You know, and I'm waiting for that game to just see, like, this guy get pulled, you know, because, you know, the missed shot, the head goes down. He doesn't get back in on the other end and there's an easy layup. Get his ass out of the game and sit him there for the rest of the game. Like, it's almost like treating these guys like they're in youth basketball
in
high school.
He is.
Pulled. The only way you can affect these guys, right, is pulling minutes. And then say, go look in the mirror. There's a reason why you play 12 minutes and not your normal 28.
I know you guys, and I refer to you as athletes, hate it when sports talk show hosts or anybody go on the air and start blabbing on about lack of effort.
okay? And in most cases, you're right. I think most guys try to give it all of their effort, okay? And sometimes they're dealing with an injury. Sometimes they're dealing with certain things that are going on within the offense or whatever. And it looks like it's a lack of effort. It's not a lack of effort. I don't think I'm being callous here when I tell you there's a lack of effort at times in these games, almost where these players sit there and say, oh, screw this. You know what? Okay. So we're designing plays now for Rozier. We're designing plays for Kyrie, and I'm not involved. Okay, whatever.
But the other thing, too, is obviously defensively, it's been huge lapses, correct?
And that's effort.
And it's effort, but it's not necessarily from all five.
No.
You know, maybe it's from one guy or two guys, and now you got other guys trying to recover for the, because at times it looks like it's chaos. They're running around the court left and right, and meanwhile, everyone's just leaving guys wide open. You know, remember Bill talking about, like, you know, I got to single out one guy doing the wrong thing, because if I don't do that, that other guys will try to compensate and they'll wonder if they're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
So if you got one guy in the court that's out of position, not doing his job defensively, and you got someone else recognizing it, so now they're trying to counter. They're trying to make up for where this guy is out of position. They're leaving their guy wide open because they're trying to make up for the guy that's not, that his head's not in the game. It's not good team defense. The rotation's horrible. Horrible. And I think at times it looks like that. Guys are just running around left and right. There's no team defense. There's no good rotations at all defensively.
No. So going to your point about Brad Stevens, we know that Brad Stevens is a bright basketball mind. X's and O's, inbound stuff, you know, after timeouts, he's terrific. We've seen all of this stuff. But did we know whether he can actually lead a legitimate NBA team that has legitimate stars on there? So we go back to Butler. So what was he getting at Butler? He was getting guys that couldn't get into Duke, couldn't get into Kansas, couldn't get play for Kentucky, couldn't play for North Carolina. Oh, right. Yeah. So what has he done so far in the NBA? He's taken a bench player, a sixth man in Isaiah Thomas, made him into a player. Evan Turner made him an awful lot of money because he found a role for him. He's taken guys who are down here, and he's bringing them up to here. But now, Danny Ainge, and that's why I totally agree with you, Danny Ainge has not been the problem. Danny Ainge took the players that he got to overachieve, that Stevens got to overachieve, dealt them off, and got you legitimate stars in Kyrie Irving, correct? And yet, I'm not sure he can deal now, Brad Stevens, that is, with stars. So, and I mean, that's what you got to do in the NBA.
I keep hearing this, and someone's got to help me out, whether you want to call in or what, but you got to tell me where Danny Ainge is at fault. Wait, is he at fault? Because
Mutt said this. Do we have Mutt saying this?
No, because there's like reports of potentially what the Pelicans believe might be available. So is it his fault that a guy like Jason Tatum's name is out there because everybody believes that the Pelicans would want him? Is it his fault that these names got out there? I mean, this is professional sports. That happens all the time. Until Danny Ainge comes out publicly and says, yes, I offered this guy and I offered that guy. He can't offer anything right now. He couldn't trade for the guy. Tell me where Danny Ainge is at fault for any of this. As a general manager, his job is to acquire talent and assets and draft picks to go out and acquire more talent. I think he's done that exceptionally well.
Unbelievable.
It's the one guy that's supposed to make the food. He's got the recipe. He ain't making food.
Yeah, but he's never done this before. We're asking Brad Stevens right now, and maybe he'll learn this on the job. Maybe he'll figure it all out. I'm not ready to jettison him out.
I just want to know how
I know we'll get some of that overreaction.
It's his fault.
Can I play Mutt real quick?
Yeah.
I'll be Mutt. No, that's not what I meant.
See, that's not right.
I mean, come on. Only way Mutt would make this be Ainge's fault is Ainge.
We don't want that money.
Ainge should have known that, right? That this combination, to Charles Barkley's point, like, too much talent, you got to be careful, right? You can't manage all of it. You can't manage all the egos. You can't manage all the individual, like, goals, right? You can't imagine, like, all that experience, that playoff experience that all those young guys got, all that early success. Like, Jason Tatum, it's got the whole shoe deal with Nike, like, you know, self-tying shoe. He's got Gatorade commercials. He's blowing up. He's all over the place, right? You think that he should be able to handle that. So Danny Ainge should have known better. Like, you're not going to be able to handle all these egos. Like, bringing everybody back together again was going to be a problem. So you should have gotten rid of some of what you perceive would be possible troublemakers. Like, to me, that's the only way it's Ainge's fault, which is really stupid, but whatever.
They didn't see any of this last year.
So it's Angel's fault that he drafted Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and became too good
and
too early?
Too good, and they got,
so he picked the right guys?
Kyrie Irving got hurt, which forced, and Hayward got hurt, which forced those younger guys to kind of take the starting role, right?
See, that's the other thing that pissed me off. The Kyrie Irving's fault now, right? Because these guys played well without him.
You're going to hear a lot of that today.
Did we forget that Kyrie Irving played in the first, what, 60-some-odd games last year?
Correct.
And they were all played well together then with Kyrie Irving? Yes, he wasn't in the postseason. But the reason why they're successful in the postseason, and don't kid yourself, is because Kyrie Irving helped that team get to the number two seed because of the record he had in the regular season.
Right.
Because if they were the four seed or the five seed without Kyrie Irving, they would have got bounced in that first or second round. They went as far as they did because of home court in which Kyrie helped them get.
Absolutely.
And enough with the Kyrie's the issue, Danny Ainge's the issue.
And then you became the top seed because Toronto got knocked off by LeBron.
Right.
That's why. Because if you look at your postseason, go back and look at those games. You were not good on the road. You
won
one road game in an overtime game in Philly that you really shouldn't have won. So you were terrible on the road out there. It was because of Kyrie, his contributions, that put you in a position where you had that home court advantage. You are not, doesn't look like you're going to have that this year.
So they asked Marcus Morris about like what happened, right? So obviously he meets with the teammates that are all talking right now. So Marcus Morris on how his teammates responded to his comments says, for the most part, they agreed. said the media.
So everybody agrees.
It's even worse.
Yeah, nobody likes each other.
That's awesome. Worse.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting there reading this. I'm going, said the media caught him at the right time when he was hot. So, of course, they lose. And he's he's trying to earn money. He doesn't care if he stays.
Right. Hey, you guys got a problem when I said that we're selfish and that we don't care about one another?
Yeah.
No,
you're pretty much I was thinking it right when you said it.
You guys agree that we haven't had fun even when we win, it's going to be a long year? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, you're speaking the truth.
That's a good point. I almost would rather have him come out today and say, you know what, they all get pissed off at me. And maybe we need to scream and yell at each other. Uh-huh. And, I would rather hear that. I think I'd rather hear that. Because I'm not sure the coach is going to be capable of doing any of that right now. Unless he's doing some of it behind the scenes and it's simply not working. But I agree with you. We're going to get a lot of calls today about it being Kyrie's fault. And I'm telling you that this thing is going to work out for the Celtics. They're going to be fine through all of this. They have terrific ownership, stable ownership, a general manager that has put together, I think, really talented players, lots of assets, so it allows you to be able to make that deal. But I'm not convinced that we're not going to fix this thing until July the 1st. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie's going to be part of this team going forward. He has to be.
Yeah, so the other story is, now Kyrie's going to want to leave. He's going to hate the way things are. He's not going to want to stay now. We got to convince him. We got to apologize to him. Well, that's the other story. It's Kyrie's fault. Who needs to leave?
Yeah, and for all those people that think it's Kyrie's problem, good. I hope he does leave.
Yeah.
And then you can sit here. You can wonder why you're a 3 or 4 seed the rest of your lives until everybody else leaves.
That's what you're going to
be. Good. I hope he does.
You're a 48-win team, Lou, and you're there forever.
You think he's the problem? Then you deserve him to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, what it looks like.
The thing that people keep on throwing out with Kyrie, that they think you put together a nice little team. This is not the Patriots. This is not where you've got 11 on offense, 11 on defense, special team players, rotational players. This is really the top of your rotation decides your success in the league. Does Golden State have, after the top five players, the best roster? No. But they have the top five, and that's where you win in this league. So you go out and you get yourself a top five, top six, seven player, and that's how you win championships. Look at NBA history. This one is an absolute no-brainer. All right, we get to your phone calls coming up next at 617-779-7937. We start with the Celtics, who were just awful over the weekend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
How much does a lack of practice play into these guys not having fun?
I think when you lose, it's not fun. You know, like, and
and also it's right after the game, right? So like that's part of it. When you lose big leads, when you know you're getting booed, rightfully so, off the court, like it's not like, hey man, that was awesome. You know, like that sucks. It's not fun. So whatever. Like, play well.
Well, it's also game 56 of the season, and this has been going on for some time. This is not like, oh my God, 56 games in, we got a problem now. No, this problem's been here for a while.
I have one request. I don't have a lot of
them.
Go
ahead.
But when we do these interviews, when the Celtics do these interviews, can we just like take them inside where you don't? Can somebody say, can you hold the ball?
Yeah.
No bouncing the ball. You know, like the refs don't like other kids like bouncing the ball at these pickup games,
right?
Town games. Don't bounce the ball.
You don't get that with football, do you?
No.
Another advantage.
True.
Football. Another advantage. All right, let's get to the...
Play that in the back of him the whole time this knucklehead keeps talking.
To the phone calls we go. Here's Bob in Waltham. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You know, it is just amazing when you look at the difference between most of the same players, what you had last year and this year. And I can't help but wonder at times what things would have been like around here last year if Gordon Hayward didn't get hurt. What have we seen some of these problems with the difference in egos? I think maybe...
Wait a minute. You're missing one element to this, and that is that if that had happened last year, then Tatum, Brown, Rozier would not have had that prominent a role yet.
That's right.
Okay.
That's true.
So what happened is those guys got an opportunity. See, I think they've got a case. I think the young kids have got a case. They're going in one direction in their career, and the older players, the more established players, the guys that have already got their money and got their multi-year contracts are going into a different direction. But you got to bring the two together.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, what happened was, and I was going to get into that, actually. So by Hayward getting hurt, what that did is it galvanized them to rally around that, and I think they were able to all pull in the same direction. But then what that did, as you said, it created a situation where now these guys think, well, gee, I should be a starter. I don't want to lose my minutes. I don't want to lose this. But it seems to me, and I guess it's easy for me to sit here as a 50-something-year-old guy and say, look, you're going to get paid, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else. You're good enough if you keep your head on straight, and you're going to get paid. I think that they have completely tuned out the coach at this point. And here's another point, too. We talk about some of the bad defense that was so horrible the other day, but there were stretches last year I can remember during games. It seemed like it happened early in games. They'd have a lot of bad starts, and then they'd come back from these 18, 20-point leads. Now, for whatever reason, they're starting out good, and they're blowing leads. It's almost, but they would listen to the coach at halftime, let's say, and be able to play better. And now that they're not listening to the coach so much, you know, I'm not sure
I blame those stretches on the coach. I blame the overall atmosphere.
Everyone is to blame, okay? You're talking about the kids. I think they do have a legit beef, you know, but the bottom line is, like, those kids, like Rozier, Jalen coming off his rookie year, Jason Tatum in his rookie year, you know, with just ears wide, you know, just wide open.
Yep.
Just eyes and ears wide open. You know, how do I get better? How do I make this thing work? Listening to everybody, whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Al Horford, whether it's Brad Stevens. And then it's, you know, they have the year they have. It ends the way it did. And
they became
like
stars.
Those three guys were like, okay, it was us in the postseason, right? So do they think they've all figured it out?
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, though, when you start looking at, you read a guy like Adam Himmelsbach, and he starts breaking down some of the defensive issues. The biggest defensive issues on this team are Marcus Morris, who's talking about not having fun.
Right.
Al Horford, who's every last year told me he's defensive player of the year, and Gordon Hayward. So it's not the kids, okay? But so I think it's a combination of those guys. Do they think they got it all figured out? Do they think they deserve more? See, because early on in your career, I get it. But Rozier's the only guy that's really coming up in any kind of contract. You know what I mean? Like Tatum and Brown, they're still a couple years away.
Yeah, but they're looking establish their identity and their brand. Because especially in the NBA, even more so now than these other sports, in the NBA, these guys want to become individual stars. They're all married into the entertainment business. This is how it all works with them. And they want to be something special. And it's very difficult to be able to deal with ego, where a guy you know is now on your team going to make $35 million, and you're sitting there going, I'm better than him. I can do more than him. You know, you don't think they look at Horford and they look at the money he's making and they're saying some of the same things that you just said? Because Horford's had his challenges this year, his struggles.
Well, but I think Gordon Hayward's a guy they look at.
Yeah,
yes,
I was going to say, is it contempt or is it indifference? Like, which is more? But do you think they have more contempt towards Hayward? Or even contempt towards Kyrie Irving, right? Because, again, you cannot avoid and forget about the fact that we went so far and did X, Y, and Z without you. Now you're telling us what to do, telling us how to act, calling up LeBron. There's this long laundry list of just events that just... This is why you're not good.
Well, you could definitely.
This is why you're not number one or number two.
Yeah, I definitely understand what was going on at the beginning of the year. You know, I mean, they were force feeding Hayward minutes. I mean, he was starting on this team and had no right starting on this basketball team. And Brad was seemingly give him the minutes, and it was a catch 22. Well, I got to get him going, so I got to give him the minutes. I want him out there with these guys. That's definitely the point where, like, Jaylen Brown's sitting there going, really? You know, and then now he gets bumped to the bench with Gordon Hayward, and it's. Looking at the minutes that Gordon Hayward's getting, you know, the contribution he gives them. Hey, he was good on Saturday, but I feel like it's once every four or five games he shows up, and the other ones he just completely disappears.
So, yeah, he can't get into the flow.
No,
at all.
So it just turns into, why is this guy getting minutes over me?
Yep.
You know, look at the amount of money he's making.
So they all have, I think we all agree that they all have their own justifiable cause here, but how do you bring it all together? I don't see it happening until we get to July 1st, until they finally re-sign Kyrie, they trade away a package that deals with some of these young kids, and they go get Anthony Davis, and now they're going to have a more mature team with a couple of top five, top 10 players, and now you've got the formula to win a championship in the NBA, and you're going to have role players added onto that. That's the formula. You can look it up. That is the formula. You don't win with a bunch of guys saying, oh, we're 12 deep or 10 deep. It's not how you win in the end.
No, and yeah, the problem is if those kids think, like some Celtics fans, that, you know, if Kyrie did go to New York, we might be better off. Because, Terry, you can get back in there.
Good
and,
luck.
And, you know, me, you, and Jaylen, and Tatum, we can, the three of us can kind of carry this new wave. And it's like,
I want to get into this.
Not much
you mentioned this, Adam
Himmelsbach.
I want to get into it soon, but you want to crank through some of these real quick?
Yeah, crank through them. Here's Joe in the car, cranking. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Glenn, what's up, guys?
What's up, Joe?
Glenn, I'll tell you, I'm going to be one of those callers that you said, they're going to call up saying it's Kyrie. This is the problem. Kyrie is the problem. Okay. Let me just irradiate that a little bit.
Okay.
What? Kyrie's the problem.
Kyrie's the problem.
Going to get a lot of that today. Get ready for it.
Kyrie is the problem. That's right. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
When Kyrie publicly went with the media saying about these guys, and just basically criticized these guys, and then turned around and called LeBron James for advice, which all these months when he played in Cleveland – when he came over here, everybody thought it was LeBron was the problem. Well, obviously, LeBron wasn't the problem. It was Kyrie, because if LeBron had the problem, then why would Kyrie go apologize to LeBron like he did?
Because he was asking Joe, because he was asking him for advice. He was basically calling him and saying, I've got young kids right now that are in the exact same position that I was in my first couple years with you. And I'm trying to figure out what I do. First of all, I have no problem with him making a call. Here's the only problem I have, Joe. The only problem was he announced it to the world.
He didn't have to announce it.
He didn't have to announce it. You do it privately. If LeBron leaks it out, that's one thing, okay? That's LeBron playing the game.
Glenn, let me ask you this. If you had a problem with Lou on your station, right? And you went to another station,
right?
Well, let's just say a basement.
And you were having problems at
the attic. Ocean view attic.
And the signal's not that good either. All right. I don't know, Joe, you're all over, but I don't even know what you're saying. Kyrie Irving is not the problem.
What has changed with Kyrie Irving? Has anything changed with Kyrie? Last year when he got hurt, that team was 46-20 at the end of the year. When he got hurt, they went 9-7 the rest of the way into the playoffs.
People don't know those numbers.
What has changed with Kyrie? Is he the same player he was last year, or is he a different guy?
He is a better player
this
year.
Okay, so who's changed? Has Kyrie changed? Kyrie, I don't think, has changed.
No.
People around him have changed because of their own personal expectations, what they think they're capable of, correct?
Right.
Good. So take Kyrie off this team. Right. You know what? Enjoy being the Atlanta Hawks of a few years back.
Yep.
A player short. And you know how the NBA works? Nobody wants to come and play with Jason Tatum. They don't want to come and play with Terry Rozier or Jaylen Brown. Okay? And just enjoy being that four seed, maybe getting by the first round and then getting waxed by a team in the East that's actually built with really good players, not ones you just enjoy watching. because the effort's there. Woohoo!
Kyrie Irving may be the best closer of the game right now. He's a much better defensive player. I've even seen some of the analytics now defensively, and I don't know how what these numbers work, but just my eyes tell me he's better. But these numbers say he's much better defensively this year. He's a terrific player. He's a top 5, 6, 8, somewhere in that category. That's what you need. There are two teams that have won NBA championships without having one of those superstars.
So he's
one Pistons team that won, and the 79 Seattle.
Okay, you're going way too far.
Supersonics.
Back. So, but that's it. He also hasn't been part of the solution either. He's been part of the reason attitudes.
Everyone
his
is play, to blame.
Yeah, his play has been
he's
great
to too.
But his leadership skills are lacking. Like he
I would agree with that.
Way too much.
I would agree
he
with
doesn't
that.
Doesn't get it, and it's affecting
ahead,
the rest
it.
Of them.
Say it.
Well, he's David Price.
There you go. Get it off your chest. Don't
no,
be shy, big fella.
It's all right. No,
I think there is something to that.
And I feel like.
And that's the biggest
that
concern.
And the fact that he was talking the way he was, and he's the leader, right? Okay, the de facto leader because he's just the best player. Obviously, everybody's just going to look towards him. He has the most success in the championships and everything else like that. So he goes and he talks, and these other guys that have been almost empowered by what they did last year, and then just their personalities are like, well, wait a second. Like, what gives you the right? Like, you stop respecting that person and his point of view because everybody's making these rules, but you're out there breaking them. But, so you're setting the rules and breaking them at
the
same
time. But the reality is that, okay, he leaves Cleveland. He wants his own team. He wants to be the leader. So he's not a great leader.
No.
Okay, so trade him? He's not a great leader?
No.
Like, what, does every great player have to be a great leader?
A leader leads.
I mean, I don't know, but not all great players are leaders. So if his fault is he's not a great leader, does that mean you got to get rid of him?
Listen, Lou.
Or do you have to bring another strong voice with him?
Lou, the only way you go into the other direction and the direction people think right now, because you can't trade Kyrie. You blew that. We're past the trading deadline. So what you end up doing is losing him on July 1st. If you lose him, you got no chance of getting Anthony Davis. If people want to go past July 1st, let Kyrie Irving go to the Knicks, go somewhere else, and you have Tatum and Brown and Rozier. You better be sure that one of those players ends up being one of those top five players going forward.
They won't be.
And if they are,
I don't care.
You're still 3, 4 years away, 5 years away from that happening. And I'm telling you, you'll be sitting here with, two shares in television ratings as people watch this. That's what you're going to get.
Oh, listen, I agree. And then you're also going to be sitting there saying, you know what this Celtics team needs? Top five, top 10 player.
That's what every NBA team, that's what they strive for.
Honestly,
that's why Danny did that deal
but
with Isaiah.
Like the big thing, too, is like Celtics fans aren't, the whole NBA right now, and the egos and the top five, top 10 players, you're not accustomed to dealing with one of those guys because you haven't had one in a long time.
Right.
You know, and when you did have them, it was like KG towards the end of his career, Paul Pierce, wherever you want to rank these guys, but you're not used to dealing with them.
Yeah.
So now you finally get one here and you find out that he's a little bit different. Okay, they all are. You don't have that perfect top five player that isn't a little bit different. So sometimes you got to deal with it. Because once he walks out that door, you're going to be stuck in mediocrity looking for another top five, top 10 player. And that's not easy to find or convince someone to come here in Boston. You're right back to that spot we were years ago saying that you can't get a free agent here. Right back there.
David's in New Hampshire. Next up here on OMF. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Dave.
Hey, I think you guys hit it right in the head. You know, I'm sick of hearing about talent, and the Celtics have so much talent. In the end, if you go through that roster from Morris to Tatum to Brown to Average Al, where is all of the talent?
They're loaded.
And
what do you mean,
talent?
Steve?
Yeah, they're loaded with talent.
I mean, I don't
totally disagree. That's not the issue. Hold on, the talent is not the issue, and as evidence for that. Why do you think that Magic Johnson is coming out now and saying that the Pelicans were playing him during all of this stuff that went on? Because they know, the Pelicans know, that Danny Ainge has all of the talent and he has to wait until July 1st because the Lakers don't have
it. Better get rid of it because I'm telling you right now, Kyrie's not the problem. And, you know, they're going to hang on to these young guys and they're not going to be as good as everyone thinks. And then we're going to be in trouble. You know, so much talent, so much talent. Marcus Smart, Morris, Average Al. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think talent is the problem. Defining roles for each one of these guys is an issue. You can blame Brad Stevens.
I don't think that's defining the roles is not an issue. them accepting those roles
yes.
is the issue.
I take
right?
it back. You're right.
So because I think he's doing it. They're just fighting him.
Right.
Which is like just can you not see like what's at stake? Can you not understand how you can benefit from this? That to me is that's why there's so much just indifference towards everybody,
well,
right? You're not having fun. You're not nobody ever stands up, and he's right. And sometimes I feel like it's kind of silly in the pros when guys are standing up every time somebody makes a shot. But it is neat when you actually feel good for the guy that's playing in your spot, right? You're not nervous about losing your spot. You're okay with the changes, and you trust that the coach is making the changes for a specific reason, and you're not judging him or challenging him. That doesn't exist on that team.
We talk
Everybody
about,
knows what's best for them.
Yeah, and talent on this team, it is, like before Kyrie went down at the end of the regular season, it is the same team. Because when we say talent-wise, you think Gordon Hayward. And you got to stop saying that. Because he's just...
Not so, this
he's
year.
Not, to
not
me,
this year.
No, and he is... I understand it's because of the injury and all, but he's the difference. He's the difference from this team actually being what you thought they could be. Do you think Gordon Hayward, if Gordon Hayward was the Gordon Hayward from Utah, would he be the second best player in this team?
You would hope so. Yes.
He's the second best player in this team, correct? Given this track record, how he used to play before the injury. Now go to one of these other top teams in the East. Take the second best player in the team and now tell me that guy, for whatever reason, injury-wise, has now become your eighth and ninth most important player in the team. You tell me if that team is going to live up to expectations. So this is who he was supposed to be. This is why you looked at all the talent. You got to take him out of the equation. They're shoehorning him in there. It's not working. But other than that, it's the same team they had last year before Kyrie went down.
All right, we get right back to your phone calls talking about the Celtics. Two of the worst losses of the season, and maybe certainly during the Brad Stevens era here over the weekend, both against L.A. teams. And then tomorrow night, they have to go into Philadelphia. And if everybody's right about Kyrie not being, you know, being the problem and the guy you don't need, then they go into Philadelphia and they blow out the 76ers tomorrow night because he's not playing, right? We'll see what happens.
We're back.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Who's their second best player? Like, a lot was made. You know why Marcus Morris can talk? He's been excellent. And when he started, the team kind of turned around early in the season. What wasn't talked about enough, really, why we like this team, was the freaking starting five, guys. Kyrie Irving, sensational, almost MVP-level all-star. Jaylen Brown, ascending legit star, it looked like last year. Gordon Hayward, legit two-way all-star. Jason Tatum, a guy who looked like he could be the franchise scoring option. And Al Horford, who in last year's playoffs, always an excellent player, looked like a Hall of Famer in the playoffs last year. Whoa. Who's the second best player on the team this year?
Looks like a Hall of Famer.
Wow.
Max Kellerman, another one. Whoa. Just going off.
No, well, the second best player is like by committee.
Should be.
It's like they
Gordon
all take
Hayward.
Turns.
It should be Gordon Hayward. It should be, and he's not anywhere close to that level right now. And that's a problem. That is one of the issues that they're dealing with, as Lou pointed out, and they continue to play him. And you have to. I mean, you can sit there and say all you want. I've heard people say, put him to the G League. First of all, you can't do that contractually. Second of all, what do you gain by doing that? So why don't you just get rid of him?
Why don't you just eat all of the money and let him go? Release
him. So you have a 1A, right? You have a 1, and then you have just a bunch of dudes.
Yes.
But that's really all you have. So they're just fighting. They're just fighting themselves.
But when you have a 1, you don't get rid of that 1 in the NBA.
No, I know. Listen, the people who say it's Kyrie Irving's fault are just crazy. Just forget about it, right? Because they think if you get rid of Kyrie Irving, the team will morph back into what it was last year in the postseason. Right, that's what they think will happen.
But you got to play. You got to win. You got to win some road games. You got to win.
Yeah, but fine. It doesn't matter. All they know is that when Kyrie Irving left, that's when the playoffs happened. Right. Even so, like he was getting criticized for not even going to the game. Right. When he had some medical procedure. But that's what they think. So Kyrie, what's the only thing that's different? Well, Hayward's back, but he's not even a star. He doesn't really do much. But whatever. We won't blame him.
Gary is in a car. He's up next. Hi, Gary.
Hey guys. So I got to disagree with you. The dysfunction totally lies with Kyrie Irving. You know, you guys have compared it to his situation with LeBron and
David Price.
If you remember, LeBron James took over a lottery team that didn't have many wins the year before, and he made them all better. And for Kyrie to
Hold on.
Well, Kevin Love, Kyrie.
Hold on. You got it wrong again, Gary. So what they did is they took the lottery players. They were all number one picks. Okay, Wiggins and who was the other kid? Bennett or whatever. Traded them away. Brought in an all-star in Kevin Love. Added him now on with Kyrie and with LeBron. And now you had the three-headed monster. Those are the facts.
Well, the fact is that they didn't have a good season that year, and Kyrie was a part of that, and we show that Kevin Love is not exactly
an all-star player.
I mean, he's an all-star player. The bottom line...
Yeah, the guys you're talking about that are on this team right now, like Tatum, Brown, not all-star players. They're good players that have upside. They're not all-star players.
See, listen, Kyrie is
could
part
be,
of,
should be,
part
maybe
of the,
be. Who knows?
And I would say this. Most NBA teams have a bunch of just guys that just... There's no real regulations with what they say. Like, really, what the entire Celtics team should do is, like, take a page from the Patriots and listen... just say vague, cryptic messages. Don't really say how you feel. Like Marcus Morris, we know you're pissed off and irritated, but you really don't have a right because you're part of the problem why everybody's scoring like crazy anyway. So if you're venting after the game and you're going to say that the media got you at the wrong time because you were hot, well, you should probably take a step back and realize that you're going to have to deal with this in the morning, which Brad Stevens does, the rest of his teammates do. So him speaking out of turn, like they all do, it's like they all have to answer for it.
All these stars do, though. You hear it with Harden. How about Durant and all the stuff that he said?
Yeah, but that's,
and they're still going to win the NBA championship with
that
team.
Yeah, but you can't look at the Golden State Warriors at all. They're so internally strong. And I mean, it's as far as like egos go,
yeah, but
it doesn't affect them.
But wait a
minute. That doesn't affect them. The Golden State Warriors?
No, but the same stuff happens. We heard it this year with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. The difference
is... For a small part, they fixed it.
Right. Oh, I don't know if they fixed it, but the difference is they've got four guys that know how to play.
You guys
play.
Think that Kyrie played any role last year in developing Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum,
absolutely.
Or Terry Rozier?
Absolutely.
So I'm just going
to you, Gary?
Curious. Gary, do you? Did he make them better?
I mean, it's hard to say. I know that they got better once they left in the playoffs. They established themselves as an upcoming players last year in the playoffs, and that's what Kyrie should have adjusted to. If he wants to be that perennial player that runs a franchise, he has to, like LeBron, make the players around him better. And he doesn't do that. He actually stifles them and their growth.
You couldn't.
So last year he stifled their growth when they were 46-20 before he got injured. They went 9-7 after it. So he was stifling Jason Tatum's growth and Jaylen Brown's growth last year during a regular season. He helped them get the 2 seed, which is the only reason why they went as far as they did, by the way. The only reason why.
Okay. I think you're missing it out, Gary. I think what you're doing is you're taking how you felt last year, and they were the overachievers. They were the engine that could, the little engine that could. And you liked that team, which is understandable. I get it, because the expectations were so low. And now you're making stuff up. A lot of people are making it. I'll give you one I heard earlier today, and I forget who actually said it, that the ball movement was much better. They were much better assist team a year ago than they are this year without with Kyrie Irving. Okay? They're sixth in the league right now in assists. at 26.4. And the games, and Chris Mannix has pointed this out time and time again, the magic number is 30. They get over 30, they absolutely win that game. They will not lose that game. They've lost
a, They've lost one game, I believe,
in which they were over 30. Last year, they were 20th in assists in the league.
Kyrie's a career high in assists this year. Almost seven.
So what Kyrie is doing this year is he's facilitating and trying to get those players involved. But when Jason Tatum stops the flow and decides, because he spent time with Kobe Bryant during the summer, and Kobe loved the mid-range jumper, and he's pulling up taking that mid-range jumper instead of stepping back two steps and taking the three, that's not productive for the team. It's also not Kyrie's problem. Kyrie is making players better, but those players actually have to do it, don't they?
Yes. I mean, arguably, Kyrie's having one of the best year of his career.
Yes.
And when you look at some of the statistics.
And he's winning games down the stretch.
Yes.
He's one of the best closers in the game today.
I just don't get it. I don't. Maybe Celtics fans don't know how to deal with a superstar in their team, but they want to blame this kid as opposed to looking at other guys who are different.
Yeah, but don't
He's not different. It's the same guy he was last year when you loved him. Go watch a game he plays in. It's magnificent.
I agree.
He went down yesterday in what, a minute to go, whatever it was at halftime? And then, so they're better without Kyrie. That? How'd the third quarter look without Kyrie the problem?
Blowed out.
How'd that look? Second half.
Blowed out. No. Awful. Terrible. They were lost without him. And go look at Terry Rozier's numbers. Look at the splits home and away last year. When he was playing in those postseason, he was a shadow of himself when he had to play out on the road. He was terrific at home. Everybody loves him.
I'm starting to hope more.
Drew Bledsoe.
I'm starting to hope more and more that they do trade, you know, Brown and Tatum for Anthony Davis.
No.
That they blow this roster up, as people say, blow it up. Blow up this roster by getting rid of Tatum and Brown and bringing Anthony Davis. And then Celtics fans are going to be so damn miserable when Kyrie, a healthy Hayward, Anthony Davis, maybe Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, go out and sit in the NBA Finals. And I want you all to remember how miserable you're going to be when that happens, because you don't want Anthony Davis. You'd rather keep the kids. That's good. That's good.
Crazy. And it's going to happen, too. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Lock it in. Here's Kevin in Attleboro. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Kevin.
I wanted to talk about Kyrie,
yep.
And I want to talk about Anthony Davis, right. And I want to talk about Isaiah Thomas.
Awesome.
Because last fall, on ESPN, they had a post where Anthony Davis listed the teams that he would go to. The Celtics were listed number one.
Right.
All of a sudden, the past couple of weeks, Boston's off that list, because he didn't like the way Isaiah Thomas was treated.
No. That was his dad.
No, that was his dad.
And that was placed.
You realize, Kevin, that was all bogus, right?
Yeah.
It
wasn't him. It was his dad. Right, two things wrong.
So he was doing it because he was trying to create leverage to get New Orleans to make a trade that New Orleans did not want to make to the Lakers. Because New Orleans told Davis they didn't want to make that trade to the Lakers. He wanted to go to the Lakers, and so he put together a list, keeping Boston out of it, because he knew that Boston created the leverage in the other direction for New Orleans, and the old man added into it. That's a bunch of crap. Do you remember when Kevin Garnett was first talked about coming to the Boston Celtics? He said he wants nothing to do with Boston. Nothing.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. That was it.
Hey.
Okay.
But it's all business, right?
No, yeah. I mean, it's funny the way these stories get kind of convoluted. Like, first it was Kyrie. It's like, no, it really wasn't. I mean, sorry, it wasn't Anthony Davis. It was his dad. And how they just totally just planted that, right? It was so obvious. Like, we talked about it last week. It's like they think people are stupid. Well, obviously they are, because they fall for it.
That's not that funny.
But I'm amazed that they fall for it, because most of the national guys that cover this stuff and the guys that are in the know, like Wojnarowski and others, I mean, pretty much are explaining to you what's going on.
Here's the other thing.
Do they not want to hear that? I mean, they just don't want to make the Davis trade?
The only realistic place that he could have gone at the deadline was the Lakers.
Correct.
And his father was doing everything possible to make it happen, so his son didn't have to go to New Orleans and get booed every single time he takes the ball, like it's going on right now.
Right.
Ball control.
So he doesn't want to play in Boston, because the only place he can go is the Lakers. If Boston was on the table, maybe he has a different tune. And like you said, count the days before the article comes out, in weeks, to where all of a sudden, you know, Boston's not a bad destination.
We saw it with Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett wanted to go the Lakers or Phoenix. Told Minnesota, that's it. The only two places I'll go, you make the deal work, Kevin McHale. And McHale tried. It was not going to burn his own team. So he said, screw you. I'm going to go where I can get a better deal. And he ended up going to Boston.
Go to bed.
And then Kevin Garnett loved it here. Loved it. That's what happens. It's all business.
So you have all this talent, you have all these personalities, right? So it's really the coach's job to kind of manage them, right? So they should call him a manager, really, instead of a coach. I'm not kidding.
They do that in baseball.
You know, what are you doing? You just got to manage the talent.
Should wear a uniform, too, with the real short shorts.
But if you have a bunch of guys that are just opposed to it, regardless of what you say, then, I mean, your hands are kind of tied.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And I think in this day and age, you guys tell me, in this day and age, it's even worse maybe than it was when you guys were playing, and that these guys are really empowered. You know, media all over them.
Right.
That's
from
changed
the age
it.
Of 10,
That's changed it.
12.
Never told no. Everything is always yes, 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 son. Yes, son. Whatever you want, son. Whatever you want. And now they're even more empowered in the entertainment world because the entertainment world, especially with the NBA, is so attached, I think. All right, 617-779-7937. Back with the phone calls coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.